My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 25th of September 2009, and the time is 10 past 10 in the evening, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age, and where you come from?
My name's Ben Halliday. I'm 44, and I'm from Nottingham.
How long have you lived in Nottingham for?
Lived in Nottingham for about 27 years, something like that, yeah. Originally from Cambridge, moved to Lewes in Brighton, near Brighton. Moved to Rochdale, then spent a lot of time in a place called Hebden Bridge in West Yorkshire, and then went to Nottingham. So, and that's where I've been since.
And what are you doing in Nottingham at the moment?
I work as an IT manager in the two large hospitals there. So I do IT management, but I also run a charity that's involved with, there's a link between our hospital and a hospital in Ethiopia in a place called Jimma. So that's the more interesting part of my job.
And how do you get involved in the charity?
I got involved with the charity probably through an interest in reggae music originally, and of course Rastafari, Haile Selassie was someone that's mentioned quite a lot in reggae music, so that was my original interest, and it just so happened where I work there was a link between the two hospitals, so I started getting involved with that. When people came across from Ethiopia, started chatting to them, got more and more interested in the ideas and the culture, and eventually they wanted an IT person to go out, so I went out there and got more involved.
And how do you find your work with the charity?
Rewarding. It's the opportunity to go to a place like Ethiopia, a place in Africa that's never been colonised, so it's a very old culture in Africa. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's very strange that they're very polite, they have a very good sense of humour, and they all watch Premiership football. So I can go and just talk about football and have a really good, fun time with them. So yeah, it's great.
And how did you find the country itself when you went over?
I expected the country to be, because of Live Aid and everything, everyone thinks the country's a desert. There are big desert areas, but actually there's a lot of greenery. There's a lot of agriculture there. So it's actually a very fertile land, the most of Ethiopia. There's plenty of water there as well. It's the infrastructure that's not there.
And what about the people itself?
People, fantastic. Very, very welcoming. They have a lot of things we've lost in this culture, from support, closeness, a lot of the important things in this modern world they seem to have kept hold of. They don't have other things like healthcare, money, they have all sorts of other things, but they've actually kept hold of support networks and families and things, so that's something that's amazing.
Do you feel that we as a society can learn from the Ethiopians?
We do learn. We learn more by going there than they do by coming here. Everyone seems to think that we go there and we will share our knowledge, but actually you go there and you gain more than people coming here. It's strange. I go there in November and I come back mid-November, just when Christmas is starting, and you go walking around the shops with the consumerism, and you realise how fake and raw, unreal all of that is, whereas when you're out there you see a lot more real humanity, I think is probably the right word.
Could you see yourself moving over there?
No, it's too unhealthy. You hurt yourself out there, you break a leg out there, you're going to be in dire straits. So the average lifespan out there is 47. Men live to 47. Over here we live to 78 or something. So you can understand there's a big difference. So it's quite a harsh place to live. Spending long times out there, but not living out there, no.
Just taking back to your other job, the IT.
Yeah.
How did you get into that career?
I did physics at college and came out of college and didn't quite know what to do, because at the time you either went into nuclear research or into the army, and neither of them really suited my outlook and life and my values. So the only other route to go was through medical physics. So that's working in a hospital, working with x-rays, gamma cameras, nuclear, ionising radiation. So I went into that route and eventually ended up being IT man, because it was when computers were starting.
And could you talk about your outlook on life?
My outlook on life. Oh, I don't even know if I had. What's my outlook on life? Relatively positive. Like to socialise. Like to try and get hold of the real things of life as well. Not so keen on commercialism and you know, those types of things. Just sitting around having a good time with friends, I think, is the main thing I like. Like music, like science, like that type of thing, yeah.
Could you say where your dislike of commercialism stemmed from?
Probably from being left-wing throughout my life. You know, I've come from a left-wing family, always been quite left-wing. I see it as being quite futile, I think. The pursuit of mammon doesn't really stimulate me. There's better things in life.
How would you say your outlook on life has altered over the years?
Probably has, yes. Probably as you get older, at 44, much more realistic than I was as a 18-year-old or a 20-year-old who was probably more black and white about the way the world worked, and now it's more shades of grey, I think. Yeah.
Retrospectively, would you say that you would change any of important life decisions?
Don't think I would change any important life decisions. I think one of those things, and bringing on to what we're doing here, is those things is if there's an opportunity, you should always try and go for it. And I think I have more of that thing about regretting not doing something than actually, you know, regretting something that I've done. And I do regret a lot. You know, those people who say, I don't regret anything I've done. You know, everyone's got things that they regret. I'm sure they have, but I'd rather regret something that I've done than not doing something. Hence, putting myself forward for this.
And when did you first hear about the project?
I heard about it before it started off. I do quite like Anthony Gormley. I've seen stuff, you know, his stuff, so keep abreast of what's going on. So I heard about it through just messing around on the internet, heard about it, quite liked the idea. And then when it started up, started watching the website right from the beginning and applied a week or so into that or something, yeah.
And how did you feel once you got a place?
Really excited and a bit scared, I think. But yeah, really excited, look forward to it, yeah.
And what do you plan to do with your hour?
Because of my work with Africa, I've got a deep love of African music. There was a big period in the 70s where there was a lot of music being made in Africa that had been influenced from the soul movement in America that had come back across to Africa. And of course, the soul music in Africa had been from in America had been from Africa first of all. So it went to America, got electrified, and then you got James Brown and people like this. Then it went back to Africa and got, you know, revitalized. So there's this magic sweet spot of the 70s where there's all this music being recorded. So that's what I'm doing. And it's strange because though people don't know it and haven't really heard it, as soon as you hear it, you go, oh, I know that. And it's nice up music, so yeah.
Is this the only type of music you particularly enjoy?
No, I like all sorts of music. I've liked all sorts of music. You name it. Mostly on the indie punk side or through the dance crazes of the Second Summer of Love. So yeah, all the way through.
You mentioned obviously African music and you talked in detail about Ethiopia. Would you say that your work and your love of music from Africa has greatly impacted on your modern life?
Definitely, yes, absolutely. I DJ in clubs back in Nottingham, African music. I bore my friends with the African music, so yeah, it has impacted. And yes, it has.
What particularly about the African music do you enjoy?
I think it's that thing that I mentioned where you haven't heard it before, but as soon as you hear it, you go, oh, that sounds familiar. And you play it and people start tapping their feet and people start moving around. It's very accessible. A lot of the time when people hear African music, they'll think of things like Ladysmith Black Mambata or Paul Simon's album. It's nothing like that. It's more like James Brown and things like that. So the early soul music from America.
And is there a big social scene in Britain for African music?
No, not the type of music I'm playing, because most of the places we go, they haven't heard anything. But most people like it when they do hear it. So.
And what do you hope to gain from your time on the plinth?
I don't know. It's strange. The actual time on the plinth, I think, is to some extent not the important thing. It's the build up to it and talking to friends and family before about what you're going to do. It's the people who watch you whilst you're on the plinth and then talking about it subsequently as well. I think it's the, and I think that hour on the plinth is going to be nice for me, but actually I think the art is talking about it with all your friends previously and what you're going to do and subsequently. You know, and you've got that thing where, you know, my nieces and nephews will be able to point to the plinth in the future and say, oh, that's where Uncle Ben was and things, so yeah.
And how important to you is family?
Family's pretty important to me, yeah. Not it's, you know, family's good. As I mentioned before, it's different in this culture because our family's all split up all over the place. You know, mother lives in Scotland, my in-laws live in Scotland, my father lives in Cornwall, my brothers live in London and Brighton, I live in Nottingham, my sister lives in Yorkshire. You know, so you don't get to see each other as much because people have to go where work and jobs are. So I think we miss something from not being, you know, growing up in cultures that where people know each other.
So are you married?
I'm married, yes, no children. But yeah, I've been with my partner now for 20 odd years. So yeah, that's, you know, it's a long term relationship, yeah.
And can you remember the first time you met her?
Yes, absolutely. It was Acid House times, just after Acid House, a bit more ravey times. I was going around the country and I happened to be in Glasgow that night and met her at a rave, actually.
So does she share your love for African music?
She does, but not quite as much as me. She likes others. She's more into Bruce Springsteen, I think, than I am, but yeah.
And do you think that marriage has changed you in any way?
I don't know if marriage has changed me because we've been together for a long time before we got married. So, but I do like having a very good, strong relationship. Yeah, it's a very good thing to have.
And what are your views on the arts in general?
That's a very broad question, but I very much like a lot of art. I tend to like modern dance is my favourite form of art, so I go and see plenty of in Nottingham Playhouse. They have plenty of modern dance, so go and see, I don't know, 6 or 7 performances a year. I go and see a lot of gigs with bands and stuff like that as well. Done less on going to art and sculpture, but I do go to the Yorkshire Sculpture Park a lot as well, a few times a year to go and see what's on up there. So yeah.
Just to take you back to music, you mentioned you met your wife at a rave.
Yeah.
Obviously music has always been a part of your life. And
yes.
How has it changed over the years?
When I was younger, I was used to playing bands. So I used to play in bands and did a lot of gigging and things like that. Don't do that anymore. I haven't got the time or inclination to put the effort into being in a band. So I suppose playing music as a DJ is a lot easier way of doing it because you can do it without having to get everyone together or go touring and stuff. So that's changed. I think much like my, you know, the politics we were talking about earlier on, I think you mellow as you get older, so you know, instead of liking the harsh punk stuff, you start liking some more, you know, easier stuff to listen to.
And how often do you DJ?
Once a fortnight, that sort of thing, just locally around town, yeah.
And what are your interests outside of work?
I like going to the pictures, I like playing guitar, I love reading about science, and I like my IT and gadgets. I'm a bit of a gadget freak, so I'll be on the internet, which I love the stuff on the internet with the one another. You can have that on all day long in the background, and you know, it's a great thing, especially if you link it in with Twitter. You've got Twitter and the streaming works really well.
So I've just noticed your t-shirt, do you mind just describing that for us?
Yeah, my t-shirt, he's got a picture from an album that was found, not by me, but in West Africa. It's a funky guy saying, everybody get down. And then there's a couple of URLs on the bottom. One's about the charity work I do, and one's about the DJing stuff I do. So it's just for some friends back home, or just a few of the tweeting people that I know.
And what interests you about technology and gadgets?
The promise of the future. You know, they always get better, they always get smarter. I like that. staying connected as well. That's the other part of it. I said we're we're disparate. My mother lives on the Hebrides, she doesn't get to see us that often. We don't get to see her that often. But getting broadband up there, she can do the webcams, so she can keep in touch with grandchildren and us by just doing the streaming stuff. So it's it gives the opportunities, brings people closer together. I sit here and on my phone, I can email my friends in Ethiopia, and they mail me back straight away. So that's something that couldn't have happened 20 years ago. So I think it brings people closer together.
And how long have you mentioned guitar playing? How long have you been playing guitar?
How long have I been playing guitar? 30 years. So that was one of the things I thought about doing, but I've seen lots of people playing guitar up there, and I don't think I'll be able to do it for an hour as well.
And if I can ask, what's at this moment in time important in your life?
What's important in my life? Ooh. Trying to get my work-life balance right. I work too hard. I need to stop working so much. Yeah.
And one final question.
Of course.
As you know, this project's all about getting a portrayal of modern Britain, so I'm going to ask if I can for you to paint a picture of yourself at this moment in your life.
Picture of myself. I'm a 40-year-old white male. I'm half Scottish, half Yorkshire, so I'm tight. I'm very busy. I spend a lot of time at work. I spend a lot of time planning to go to Africa, and I spend a lot of time listening and playing music. So that's who I am. Yeah.
And where would you like to be in the future?
Relaxing on a Greek beach, maybe, listening to music. No, it's something I'm not too sure. Don't think I've really thought too much about it. Probably working less. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.